With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome back.
It's nice, wasn't it?
It was nice. Welcome back to episode 4 of Babysitting Trevor.
Babysitting Trevor, the podcast where we, Chris Martin.
Carl Donnelly.
Yep.
Mixed it up, mate.
And our friend Trev go on adventures to help his mind.
Yeah, and this week's adventure, I'm afraid I missed it again.
You are. You missed one of probably the weirdest ones we've done.
Yeah.
It's weird in terms of what I think most people...
I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't even know what it was.
So we went to a sound healer where it's basically sort of
like... music rather than like a mangong. It's a sound healer.
No, yeah. Not just a proper like geezer.
It made a sound.
Yeah. No, this is somebody who teaches meditation using and sound healing.
Right.
So it's basically you meditate while you are... They call it a sound bath because it's like you're washed with sounds.
But you're not in a bath.
You're not in a bath, you're just in a sort of a studio covered in blankets and...
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. You'll hear all about it.
All right, so I can imagine Trev hated that.
We went for lunch afterwards. We didn't talk too much about it. We thought we'd leave it for the record.
Right, okay.
But I'm going to also predict that.
Right, okay.
Even though I'm not sure.
All right, we'll see how he did on that. And we've got some more voice memos.
Loads of voice
memos. It's the one task he keeps doing.
Well, yeah, almost to the point of there being too many.
Actually, too many.
Now we have to whittle it down.
Yeah, but we'll find out how he enjoyed the on sound healing now.
Hope you enjoy the episode, guys.
All right, Trevor Crook, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah. That's a nice song. Brought in with a song for the first time.
Yeah. Trevor, you like music, so I thought I'd sing to you.
Yeah, well, I like
sound healing
episode.
Done by somebody else. But no, I generally do like music, and. I'm all right. I feel a bit tired, actually. A bit fucking worn out.
A lot of work for you, mate. We've been busy.
Were you up late watching cricket?
Yeah, the cricket. I had a very busy day yesterday. The cricket was on. I had that sounding fucking thing. And then I'd been at the gym before.
How's it? Are you hitting the gym hard at the minute?
Legs. Legs completely fucked me up. In a good way. I mean, you just have to work legs.
Well,
otherwise, you end up with...
Get your thighs out. You need to
get your thighs out.
Otherwise, you end up with legs like me.
Chris Martin. You described his legs earlier.
Stilty.
I've seen his Biafran-type legs. I've seen them.
My what legs?
Biafran.
Biafran. That's people that are hungry. They were hungry. I think they're feeding them now. Biafra was a place, and maybe it's called a different place now, isn't it?
Is that
Bangladesh?
I don't know.
Producer Joel might have to do some extensive Googling on that. It's a weird time. You were talking about a weird time. You talked about another thing last week about the guy called the famous fireman.
Biafra.
Nigeria.
Is that
Nigeria?
It was way off.
Be my main trading partner with Trevor Stan.
Yeah. Trevor Stan and Biafra.
Biafra.
Be a very one way.
I'd have a puppet leader.
Yeah, you've got free movement of people, no visa system.
Trevor's like, put me on the phone of the president of Biafra. There's no Biafra anymore, Trevor.
Yeah, have a Trevor Stan Stooge.
Any other old countries that you still refer to by their original
name? Prussia.
Burma. Is that not still a country?
It's now Myanmar, it's called.
Oh,
Come on, you honky.
Sorry.
Ceylon. That's called Sri Lanka.
Oh, yeah, I always forget.
It's called a hairdresser's
number. And fucking Persia.
No? Yeah, but Ceylon, because of the way it's spelt, I always, in my head, I can never make the connection.
Yeah.
So it's spelt like it's Ceylon.
No, it doesn't mean it. I don't think Sri Lanka means anything. Ceylon is very nice.
If you could choose any particular currency,
Yeah.
Extinct or current, which one would you use as your like favourite currency?
Oh, I think socks. Because yeah, reasonable carry, they're functional.
Yeah.
You can.
I was thinking more like drachma and stuff as my thing.
But you just want socks as currency.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what's the most? So what would be like a £50 note in sock?
It'd be, you'd probably 50
like
quid.
A cashmere.
Well, yeah, let's say 5 socks. Because you have an odd sock, spare sock. So 50 quid would be like 5 socks.
Right. But what have you got any quality?
Specific type, but you've got a specific.
Some socks can't be the same as other socks.
I've got some Calvin Klein ones the other day. They're tasty.
You need smaller socks for smaller, instead of pence, you'd have
like baby socks.
Yeah. Ones that's why you always see them on like a little railing. Someone's like, just like chucking change away, innit? Just like put a little baby sock on a railing.
Have you ever worn bamboo socks?
No, no, I haven't.
That is next level sock
wearing. Made of bamboo.
I think it's made of bamboo fibre.
Oh, right.
They're super comfortable.
Okay.
It's good. We'll get you a set. We'll
fucking come home and a panda's eating your fucking socks.
Yeah. Just nibbling on your toes. Yeah, right. sounded ruder than I meant. Yeah. Considering they've not known for their sexual prowess.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're not.
If anything, they need to... We need to spice things up.
They need panda porn or something.
Yeah, well, they need to put bamboo...
Panda panties.
Pants on the opposite
panda
sex.
Panda lingerie. That's a good little...
I saw a footage on... It's like a little, what are they called? GIF? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Of two pandas having it off against a tree. So hard, they knocked another one out of the tree.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lovely little video.
That's great.
Fucking trim fell out of the tree.
You're watching. And they look like the dumbest of all the bears.
Yeah.
They don't look the brightest.
But yeah, polar bears seem pretty smart.
Yeah.
Cover your nose up, innit? That's how you blend in the Antarctic. That's what they do. They put their paw over their nose and you can't see them.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Shut their eyes, though.
Well, no, because they're predators, aren't they? No one's trying to catch a polar bear.
So they sneak up on something with their hand over their face.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on,
they
mate.
Do. They do cover their nose up.
Yeah, I did that when I was a kid. I used to cover my eyes up thinking I disappeared. I did. And my mum and dad go along with
it. Just puts both his fingers over his moustache.
I remember doing it. My mum and dad would be saying, "Where's Trevor gone? Where is he?" And they'd sort of walk around, Where is he? And I'd be fucking thinking I was invisible. What sort of kid? I must have been
What age did you knock that out of your system?
18, yeah.
No, it was actually probably 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But, you're going, it's very odd. I mean, I suppose it's kids' logic, isn't it? You can't see them, so you think they can't see you.
Yeah. It's ultimate, I suppose it's like peekaboo, isn't it? Babies love that shit.
Babies do love that. You said that like a weird old player, like talking about how to chirp to Lenny. Babies love that shit. Yeah. They love it. So let's go back to your list of friends.
We've seen
you've been doing that all season.
Yep, okay.
Boris.
Yeah.
He's on some emails.
Yeah, my mate Boris. I met Boris at karate class.
Of course you did.
I met Martin, same thing. And he just happened to live just a few streets away from me. So we're talking. I tend to gravitate towards people and bond with them very quickly. You know, when you meet someone who's like a little bit original, and Boris is definitely original, because I'm a bit funny as well, you just tend to gravitate quite quickly. You find each other quite quickly in a crowd.
Yeah.
So I just discovered Boris very quickly because we had similar sense of humor. I cracked a joke and he laughed and we had that rapport instantly almost. And then... he asked me where I lived, and I said, "Oh, fucking Clare Street." And he said, "Oh, fuck, I live in Lavinia Street, I think it was, and fucking walking distance." So he started giving me a lift home after karate class.
How old were you then?
23.
You still remember the name of your street? That's good.
Hey?
You still remember the name of the street?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do. Yeah, I've got photographic memory for that. And my dad's phone number, 459153.
Your dead dad's phone number.
Yeah. You remember all that, but you forget like to buy any gifts for Julia.
Yeah, that's so funny. Right.
Forget all the actual day-to-day admin.
Yeah, I'm still really good at fucking old phone numbers.
Julia, I've got you nothing, but you could call my dad's old phone line if you want.
My dad in the 50s.
And so I met Boris and sort of we clicked on the... he's the one who gave me dope for the very first time, Boris.
How was that? We've never heard about your drug.
Boris grew... he had his own dope. He had 180 plants growing in his backyard.
Oh,
and his parents, who had a vegetable patch there, they would actually tend it for him. They'd water it, put vitamins on it. So it was very, very healthy.
Cool parents.
Very, very healthy.
Did they know it was... it was...
Yeah, I think they did, yeah. And they saw
Where's
nothing
Boris
wrong with it.
Where's Boris from?
Yugoslavia.
Oh.
He's a Croatian.
Speaking of old countries.
Huh? He's called a Croatian. Back then he was
a Yugoslavian.
So I tended to bond with ethnic kids generally. They were always my best mates. So anyway,
Boris, start to a racist joke.
Yeah. And Boris had 180 plants, and he it was so strong. He would sell some of it, but half the time he'd give it away to his mates.
Yeah.
And he'd take it at concerts and just hand it to people, joints, and people would pass out. That fucking powerful. And then he decided, would you like some? And then I thought it'd be a bit like being pissed. I said, all right, so I don't smoke, so he made it in tea,
which
apparently makes it more toxic.
Yeah.
And I was playing the guitar at the time, and I drank this stuff, and I suddenly couldn't play the guitar anymore.
Yeah.
Couldn't fucking remember how to play a chord. And then I got this grin on my face, because I looked in the mirror, it just would not go away, this insidious, evil fucking grin. And then I got this, like, spaced out derealization, with anxiety, got that extreme.
Yeah.
And it was fucking horrendous.
That's the paranoia, I suppose, they refer to.
I suppose, yeah. And I had this thing about being aware that I was on the fucking world, like, on the globe, and I became suddenly aware there's, like, nothing underneath the earth.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it was, like, outer space, isn't it? And I sort of said, oh, fuck, it's a bit fucking dodgy walking, because it's... the earth is fucking floating on nothing.
Yeah.
That's the thought we're getting, so quite fucking bizarre.
Still remember your dad's phone number, though.
Yes, still remember that.
And it was on Lavinia Street.
Then what happened? We had this great friendship. I became very dependent on Boris because I was on the dole.
So is that the one and only time you've ever smoked it?
Yeah.
Or taken it?
Yeah, taken it, that's right. Yeah.
One time.
And you've never, ever dabbled at it?
Funny episode for the next series.
No.
Us going on an ayahuasca retreat. Yeah.
Trevor just absolutely would be
I'd never come back from it. It'd be a real fucking retreat. But the... myself, because I depended too much on Boris, because he was like, he had a car, and he was working, we trained together, but if Boris didn't come around, I would sit at home and go, oh, where is the cunt, what's going on? And he'd take me to party and all that kind of stuff. So I became
Was your dad's phone number, Boris's phone number? Was that the name? It sounds like your dad, so he picked you up, took you to parties.
But the point is, you become too dependent on someone.
Yeah.
It's not healthy,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And then what happened, I think I phoned Boris up. He said he was going to be in. And I went all this way to his place in the foothills of Adelaide. And then I got there and he wasn't in. So, fuck this. What am I going to do? It was raining. Miserable fucking night. And so we weren't getting on. By this time, a lot of tension in the friendship.
Yeah.
And I was just too dependent on him. And I think he was resenting me being too dependent. And I'd become fucking, where's Boris? I was dependent on him to the point of like he's my fucking girlfriend or something. So
it's starting to get why he might have had some issues.
Yeah. So it was fucked. It was a fucked environment. But I just broke into his house. I didn't break in. The window was open. Yeah. I sneaked in. And I went to the fridge and got beer out and a sausage.
And you had a party.
And I sat there watching porn or something like that, and eating a sausage and drinking beer. And then suddenly the lights came in the driveway. Oh, fuck, Boris is coming home. And I thought, what have I done? I've actually broken into his fucking place.
And
I realised it's full gravity the situation. I better fucking get the fuck out of here. So I ran out the back door, jumped over a fence. And then Boris I could see a flashlight in the backyard, so I thought Boris would think obviously someone broke into his house and didn't know them, so it looked like a criminal element.
Strange burglar. Somebody's watched some porn and a sausage and had a beer.
Very modest burglar.
Yeah, fucking half-eaten sausage on the table or whatever. And then I stupidly went back. I don't know why. I went back and Boris got me with a torch.
Yeah.
So that sort of...
Well, he hit you in the head with a torch.
No, he just shot it in my face and said, Trevor, what are you doing, for fuck's sake? So that
How old are you at this point?
30.
Okay.
So you told him you'd been in his house?
No, I didn't.
You were just crawling around his back garden?
Yeah.
Going in his back garden, he goes in,
there's
a sausage missing,
that's
and he never at any point thought you'd broken in.
He knew someone had broken in, but didn't know it was me.
I reckon he might have worked out.
I think he worked out.
In fact, he caught you in his back garden.
Yeah.
So how did you explain this away then?
I couldn't explain it. So
he went, what are you doing in my garden?
I don't think he even said that, but obviously, I at the time, because I was in a bad mental state, I just thought, I did break in, but we're mates, what the fuck, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I could look at his perspective and go, well, regardless whether we're mates or not, you still break into my place and it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So then we sort of broke up as friends.
It was an open window.
Yeah, it was always an open window.
If I left the door or window open and Chris let himself in.
Yeah, you wouldn't dump me as a friend.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I think because of all the other...
McCartney sausages.
Yeah, I think because of all the other tensions, that was just like this... camel's fucking back.
And then did you fall out for a bit?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, for years actually.
Yeah,
I'm talking decades.
Oh shit!
How did you rekindle the romance?
Well, I think his mum died, And I sent him a card saying, you know, condolences, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah, that's that, blah, blah, blah. That does sound like something Trevor would write on a card. Yeah. Condolences, blah, blah, blah. You get
no, it's quite a heartfelt card I sent him. And then it was my birthday. And then I think a mutual friend invited Boris over.
Yeah.
So Boris came over and we just sort of, you know, rekindled the friendship, so to speak.
So well, you and him are back in good books.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we get on very well. It's if anything, it's like a more mature friendship now because I'm not dependent on him.
You're not breaking into his house.
Not breaking into his house. And so we still get on. We still got the same sense of humour and same rapport. So
what's he? Who does, is he married and all that stuff?
He got married and then he's got an autistic daughter. Okay. And what happened was when she was very small, when she was seven, she used to go to this park, and she said she came home one day crying, and he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "The tree. There's a tree in the park." That's, I don't know whether it scared her or something like that.
Yeah.
And so he went to the park, and it's like a big grizzled old fucking tree. But it did, I wouldn't say it looked like a human being, but it like had certain human characteristics, like looked like an arm and a bit of a face on it, and it scared her.
Yeah.
So then, and she would never go in the park again. So Boris said, "Well, look, suppose I tell the tree off to leave you alone." And she said, "Oh, okay, I'll come back if you do that." But the park's full of people, so he went up to the tree and he kicked it. He started abusing the tree.
Well, so,
it's hard to see what you two get on.
That's quite sweet, isn't
it? Yeah, and he abused the tree and kicked it and said, "Leave my daughter alone."
That's quite a nice story.
That's the nicest.
When you said he's got an autistic daughter, I was like, where is this story going?
And then she saw that he kicked and swore a tree.
And then she went back in the park, you know, and so everything's fine after that. She's grown up now, I think she's 18, but and he's divorced.
That's how years work.
Yeah, that's right. And but he's divorced, you know, and he's living on his own, his mum and dad's place. They're no longer around, they're brown bread. So,
you'd probably be quite thankful if you broke in there. Bit of
company. Yeah, sure, a bit of company.
Oh, Trev, cheers, fucking up. We've been waiting 25 years for this again.
Trev, the friendly burglar, come to there.
Trev, the friendly. You go, mate, sausage and sauce in the fridge.
Yeah, that's right. As he's stealing your stuff, he chats with you.
Trev, the friendly burglar.
He sits down, watches television with you just before he takes off.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
That's what we were going to call this episode, the Battle of Trevor Stout. So, task this week.
Yeah.
It was sort of a group task, even though Chris couldn't make it.
Yeah,
so a little gang of us went.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see a sound healer, who is somebody I know, friend of mine.
Yeah.
And this was one. It was probably one of the more alternative. I mean, we've done yoga, we've done things that some people would view as alternative, wouldn't they? But actually, it's pretty mainstream nowadays.
Yeah.
We've gone, no, let's try something different. Sound healing.
Mm.
It's basically like a form of meditation. Chris, I'll explain to you. It's sort of, so you get into a very comfortable position, lying down, Trev's favourite position.
Yeah.
And then blankets, everything. And then you...
Do you mean blankets? They just...
You have blankets over you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's it up to your neck?
Wherever you decide.
Oh, you just keep yourself warm.
You get given the right to use your blanket.
Okay, just checking. Just trying to put a picture in my head.
And then they talk, and you're talked into a meditative state. Like, you know, get on board with your breathing. You know, get into a nice, comfortable sort of state of mind. And then eyes shut, eye masks, and then the sound.
So you're
begins.
Not supposed to fall asleep, though.
You can fall asleep. She said it's absolutely fine if you fall asleep. And yeah, then it's basically gong-based sounds. And it's meant to create a sort of, use the rhythms and the, what's it called? The frequencies of the sounds are meant to go through your body. And,
okay. And, well, I can, the only thing I was
saying... Put you in a very, very meditative state that you couldn't achieve without
the sound.
Like,
can you feel the sound hitting your body?
I felt it a few times really strong.
Is it quite warm? Because the only thing is I've had ultrasound before on an...
No, it was quite cold in the room.
You can feel like there's heat from an ultrasound when you have it on your skin.
Sarah said that you'll probably feel your body temperature drop once you get into a very meditative state. And I did I'd say 10 minutes in, I felt suddenly like much colder than I did at the start. So
I pulled another blanket.
Yeah, yeah.
Double blankets. Okay.
But I felt a few times it was weird. Like, it felt like I was meditating.
What are you lying on the floor?
On a very thick yoga mat.
Okay.
I felt a few times just some of the noises really rattled around me. Like, I felt them inside. One went right up my spine. It was really interesting.
Kind of okay, because you had to. Cause I remember you had to tell Trev this is not. It's not religious.
Well, there's no religion to it. It's no religious.
But leaders. It still feels like
it's a form of sort of meditative
healing,
and I found it very interesting and calming and soothing.
Trevor, how did you find it?
I found it a bit disturbing at times.
This was the one. I think. Yeah, I could tell.
I saw you last night, and you looked rattled.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
you looked like you'd been rattled.
Yeah,
your hair was all over the place. Your eyes had gone. You looked like you had a little 1,000-yard stare from.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
too many gongs.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, the one of the sounds had the exact same tone as my ex-wife's voice. couldn't fully relax.
Oh no!
But I kept my eye open a few times. Where is she now? She was like,
"Oh, was she
around.
Moving around?"
There was one gong that she, a smaller gong, she came around and did everyone individually over the top here. Yeah. I felt that one.
Yeah. So I thought. I thought I'd give it a go anyway. I mean, I'm being a hypochondriac, being suffering from anxiety. I've got to be careful with this stuff because some of these states of mind are very similar to depersonalization.
Yeah.
So it's like replicating or aggravating your own anxiety in a way, even though it's, on one level it's relaxing, but the other way, the state of mind you achieve, which is being excessively tired, is a bit like being depersonalized.
Yeah.
So what you might, you know, you lose on the swings you make up on the fucking roundabouts or whatever it is. So what you make up, is that the saying? I'm not sure. And so it's a yin and yang thing. You may get some relaxation out of it on one level, but at the same time, the after effects of the tiredness, which may have been related to it, maybe not, maybe it's tired anyway, that becomes a little bit like depersonalization. I felt my anxiety rise all last night. It was like, as I said, the anxiety is like a bit of a tremor feeling of tiredness. You can feel it. And normally it's under a certain level, which is manageable.
It goes up,
like fucking my engine's like, oh, someone revving the engine.
Right.
I had to revving the engine last night, which is very unpleasant.
Yeah.
So then I regretted doing the sounding. What have I fucking done? Fucked myself up again trying to please Carl.
Damn
But it was meant, the intentions was for it to be calming.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. What were you thinking when it was happening? That's the only thing I was wondering. Because were you going, this is a load of old bollocks?
Yeah, in a way I was, yeah. And then
because you had your eyes closed. Did you have a blanket on you?
Yeah, blanket half on me. And I did try and remember my 10th favourite fruit, and I couldn't actually do it.
Because of
constant
the sound.
Noise. Yeah. Yeah, constant noise means you can't do it. There's no brakes on it.
It's an interesting one. That's why I felt like it made me really focus on breathing and things, because it is like noises are at times like overwhelming.
It's very chaotic though. I didn't find the noise relaxing. To me, it was like in a chaotic sea or a battle or some shit like that. You know, the battle music.
Battle of Trevor Stone.
Yeah, the Battle of Trevor
Stone. That's what we're going to call this episode. Battle of Trevor
Stone. Yeah, me being like, you know, General Custer. Just fucking fighting to the last breath, and then you got this fucking sound.
Crazy horse.
Crazy horse. Or fucking crazy Trev or whatever. But I didn't find the music relaxing at all. I thought.
What was Lady Sarah like?
She's a lovely woman. Yeah, a lovely woman. Yeah, very sweet. And
I thought you were being really respectful.
Yeah, that's right.
Just because I know her. Obviously, if it was somebody I didn't know, you'd probably say some filth about her.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But she's highly attractive, a delightful person.
No, well, that's good. Well, did that help you in your head go, like, as in, like, if it had been, like, with the old life drawing, if it had been a big...
Yeah,
big beefcake.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Would you be right. Like, screw? Would you have like stormed off?
Because she would have stormed off and polite. But if Sarah, that's her name, isn't it? Yeah. She'd been like a fucking a Russian wrestler or some shit, I would have tuned out fairly early on because she's highly attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, as I said, this thing with the instinct that men have with an attractive woman, and female empowerment when they can wrap a beautiful woman can wrap any man around a finger. Does.
So it's interesting. We've learned that because it's weird how it shows. It shows what actual there's certain maybe types of anxiety.
Mm.
It might not be 100% suitable for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas for others, it was.
Yeah, I think on a certain level of anxiety, it's probably okay. But on a deeper level, when you're actually ill with it, it's not.
Didn't you say you had an argument with a bus driver afterwards?
That what? No, that was last night.
Yeah, so it's a few hours after.
So it was a few hours after.
A few hours after. I was coming back. I caught the bus. There was number 3, number 159 on Brixnell. They both pulled up, and I jumped on number 3.
Yeah.
I thought, well, anyway, the number 3 pulled up short, didn't come all the way into the city, so I had to get off. And then when I got off at the stop, the bus that had actually bypassed the first time, in Brixton, was the same fucking driver. So then I get on, and he says, hey, why didn't you catch this bus in the first place?
Did he say it in a jokey way?
No, he didn't.
Like, as in, he was like annoyed you didn't get on his bus.
Yeah, he's already saying, how come you didn't get on this bus in the first place? I said, well, I just thought to catch the other one. Yeah, but I thought, who the fuck is this idiot? I can catch the wrong bus if I want. Fuck you, man. I didn't say it, but I'm like, well, hang on, I can catch right buses, wrong buses, buses that I don't know whether they're right or wrong. If I want to, it's my fucking Oyster card.
So it didn't chill you out then, by the way?
Because there was a bit at the end. What did you think of the bit at the end when the different sounds came in, not the gongs?
I become highly suspicious.
Had you?
Yeah.
About what?
What the fuck's that? That's when I opened one eye.
Oh, really? Because basically there's gongs for the large chunk of it.
Yeah.
And then to bring you back to normality, there's a period of different noise. Like, so it's like one sounds like the rain and one sounds like the wind.
Yeah.
Actually, when the wind came on, I was God.
Right.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But I thought she was very skilled at it. I thought, well, it's just a woman making sounds. Who gives a fuck? But, I mean, it actually does it. She does it very skillfully.
It's such a backhanded question.
It is her job.
She goes from one thing to the other, doesn't she? There's no breaks.
It's skilled. Yeah,
and it sounds.
And I didn't look out at all. I had my eye mask on. You didn't use an eye mask, obviously. So
no,
you
didn't.
Like
I don't like it.
And
also, was it communal eye masks or bring your own? Because you don't know whose eyes are.
I never wear them.
Trev's choice is
claustrophobia,
not,
isn't it?
Yeah, claustrophobia.
Even though they weren't wrap around eye masks, they were actually quite cool. They were like beanbaggy ones.
Yeah,
heavier.
That you just put on your. You just sit them on your eyes.
Yeah.
So they were quite pleasant, and they smelled a bit lavendery.
Lavender scented eye mask.
That's where we're at now. Babysitting Trevor season 4.
Like having a testicle in each fucking eye, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely lavender washed testicle.
Sound healing.
Weird. Right. Like, so as a group, there was 5 of us that went.
Yeah.
And it was so everyone else had a good experience.
Yeah.
And your other half have a bit of a freak out afterwards.
Well, this is the thing. She found it very relaxing, very meditative. Mm, yeah. And then when we went, so we shouldn't have done it. We went from there. We were going to see a show after, but we went via the shops. So she needed a new pair of trainers. And we went into JD Sports at Bond Street. And it was madness in there. So busy. And it was just not the right place to go to post a meditation.
It's not the right place to go to anyway.
No, it was stressful. And there was a moment where I could see she just sort of got a little bit like, I cannot be in this shop, which is not her normal sort of manner. So you could see that it had some effect where she needed a bit more time to decompress back to real life.
So
it had an effect on everyone. I felt very tired as well.
Yeah.
And my friend Rich, who came as well, he loved it. He
had the best time.
He had the best time.
Would you do it again, Trev?
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't do it again. Well, I'm a fucking idiot generally, but I'm a great quick bowler.
So now let's listen to some of Trevor's voice memos for this week.
I just saw a program where it was profiling genius, and 3 symptoms of genius: laziness, scruffiness, and going to bed late. All those 3 traits I have in abundance. Now, I'm not saying anything,
I could be a genius, but then again, maybe I'm just lazy, scruffy, and like going to bed late.
That is good. Yep, that's.
I've heard that. Right. I've heard that theory before. They say that smarter, more creative people go to bed later.
Yeah, they do.
Surely that's also down to the lifestyle you live.
Yeah,
well, they're absent-minded, and Einstein walked out of the house with no pants on one day.
Yeah,
and probably thinking about relativity or some shit.
Your Honour.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, guys.
So that can happen. When you're looking for glasses and they're on your head.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you a genius. Yeah. It could mean you're a fucking idiot.
But it's probably one extreme or the other, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
most normal people just do normal things.
Yeah.
Whereas
that's right.
if you're doing just weird stuff, you're either super smart or a div.
Yeah.
So Trev, you're one of them.
Yeah, I think I am. One or the other. Maybe some people can, sometimes it could be like a...
You're either or.
I have days where I think I've come up with some great idea. I have days when I look at myself and think, I think you are an idiot.
It's
all subjective, isn't it? I mean, some people probably think Einstein's an idiot. But
the guy that saw him walk out of his house that day.
Because that's what I mean. I look at myself and think I'm an idiot sometimes, but then sometimes I think, I think I'm doing all right for myself. Smart.
Yeah. You probably have glimpses of genius throughout the day and you don't even notice it.
Yeah. But I mean, do you ever have those extreme thoughts of I'm a genius, I'm a loser?
Yeah, because normally, because I'm so bad at most things, I mean, I'm really bad. I mean, like, fucking, see my drawings or whatever. And you could have some self-esteem. What's your self-esteem based on? I mean, what do you identify as a person? It's something you're good at. I mean, the cricketer would go, well, I'm a fucking idiot generally, but I'm a great quick bowler. That raises his self-esteem. Yeah. So I tend to think along those lines.
And you're sort of an idiot a lot, but you're great at watching quick bowling.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Next memo.
Well, it's been a very bad week for comedy. We've lost some great comedians. On a personal level, Julia has lost her job at Jongleurs, which is a major blow to her. She's absolutely devastated by the whole thing. She didn't lose it because of incompetence or anything like that, but the company just folded financially. So it's a very, very sad time for her, very sad time for the entire comedy community. On a personal level, I suppose looking at things on a more positive note, now that Julie is unemployed, she can do a bit more work around the house.
Started as very sad.
Very somber. And then you put a positive spin for yourself on it.
Well, halfway through, I was saying that, but halfway through I'm thinking, actually, this could work out well.
How is it working out for you?
She's doing a lot more work around the house.
Is she?
Yeah, she does everything now. I do nothing at all.
You did nothing before,
but now the place looks nice.
When you were working, I'd do something.
And what were we talking that you did?
Taking dishes out of the dishwasher and about it.
And now that one job's been taken out of your hands.
I cook my own meals because she wasn't always around.
Yeah.
So now she just cooks you all the time.
Does everything.
She's worked out wonderfully for you.
Bottle washer, is it? Chief cook and bottle washer. That's Julia.
Yeah.
She loves doing it, though.
Does she love doing it, or does she realise if she doesn't do it, it won't get done?
Yeah, probably a bit of both. I think she does like cooking for me, and then when she sees the joyful expression on my face, it gives her some kind of nourishment.
What it is you don't do anything, the key is probably the reason you get away with it is you're always pretty very appreciative. Yeah. You never take it, but you never like, make me my dinner. You're always like, thank you so much for this. And is that...
No, don't get away with it.
No,
as soon as I started saying that, I doubted myself. I was like, that's not true.
Well, she'll say, darling, would you like something to eat? I'll go, you're all right. And now she's walking out, I go...
She walks off really happy about it.
No, but now she's walking off and I go, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
a bit of a footnote.
Yeah, of course.
Always end on a positive, that's it. There we go, good. Right, Trevor, you did not like sound healing, but
it's fine.
You like
sometimes
doing
we're going to find some duds.
Yeah, we're going to find.
We do a lot of tasks.
We quite often find some duds.
Yeah, we find a lot of duds, but we often find nice things that we enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what you've said about them. And is there a title for the poem?
We're going to exercise some demons of the sound healing because you've written.
I've written it.
How better to to get rid of any bad energy than
yeah. And I thought if the lady who took the class is listening, it's nothing personal. She's brilliant.
She's a great sound. It's the best sound healing you've ever been to.
No, it's the best sound job I've ever had.
Come on, Travis.
But no, she was very, very good.
She was.
But yeah, she was just flawless. But yeah, I just didn't like it.
It's not for everyone.
Here we go. This is a poem. Just call it sound healing.
Okay. A lot of thought went into the title.
Sound healing, feel the vibration, hear the gong with its manifestations, relax, relax, stress levels down, massage the cells with ultrasound, prepare yourself for total release, sense the waves, feel the peace. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, but that's not the way that it happened with me. The sound of the gong put me on edge, like hanging from a window ledge, hearing nothing but chaos within the waves, my dream of healing forever delayed. The gong got louder up to the max. I couldn't find peace. I couldn't relax. Tired and worn, just couldn't settle. Things undone by a piece of scrap metal. Was it a healing? Don't really know. Was it for real or placebo? Was it a blessing or was it a curse? All as I know is I've never felt worse. Was it a healing? Yoga or Zen? Not sure. But never again.
Oh, mate, I like that. Do you know what?
Nice one. Good one.
I thought that was good. Yeah. It gave you a lot succinct. To sink your teeth into.
Yeah, very succinct.
It's brought out a lovely poem, if nothing else, in you.
Yeah.
So it's got your creative juices going.
I'm getting better at poetry. I mean, poetry is a matter of you keep on doing it, things get a bit easier. Your brain's a bit more fluid.
Yeah.
You find.
It's like anything, practice, isn't it?
Maybe actually. Practice makes you poetry. Never know, maybe the sound healing helps your poetry.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
he doesn't want to admit that, does he?
No, maybe. My mate Dub's very rational. He's like a rationalist. He's not very suggestible. He just thinks things rationally all the time.
Yeah. It must be a bit boring.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Well, yes, I suppose it's
Where's
all
the
cynical.
Where's the fun in rational thinking?
Basically being very cynical.
Yeah,
all the time.
Most fun things come from losing your head a bit.
Yeah, losing control.
Yeah, that's where the fun.
Yeah, because he said to me, because I said I went out and got half pissed. He said, "Oh, what would you like about that?" I said, "Well, just a nice feeling." He said, "Don't you fear losing control?" I said, no, that's why you do it, because you control it all day long.
Yeah.
He said, but you might get attacked, and what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm in the fucking Bankstown Sports Club.
Yeah.
You know, no one's going to attack me. Some drunken idiot from a poker machine going to damage me, man. It's just fucking ridiculous. He's like paranoid.
Do you know what he sounds like? He sounds like he needs a couple of pints.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Right, cheers, Trev. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I feel it.
Recovered from the sound healing.
At one with the microphone, so very Buddhist-y.
Yeah. You like making the sounds, not being hit by the sounds.
Yeah, no, I like making sounds.
Yeah, you're a sound maker, not a sound receiver. Right.
Enjoyed your company as usual.
Thanks, mate.
We'll see you next week.
See you next time.
Okay. See ya.
Yep, that was it.
Yeah.
Fun.
As suspected.
He didn't like the sound.
Sound hit him was a bit much for him. That's understandable.
That's fine.
It's an acquired taste. Some people, it's not for everyone, isn't it?
It's definitely not for Trevor. I like the fact, what I enjoyed this week was learning about his mate Boris, the fact he broke into his house and ate a sausage. And then never admitted that he did it.
What was the name of his burglar? Trevor the Friendly Burglar.
Trevor the Friendly Burglar.
Right, we're gonna
get patent that.
Absolutely patent that. I'm writing a
45 degree angle.
Next
week we went to a jazz club.
Blues bar.
I kept saying that.
Your lack of musical knowledge.
I literally
shows.
In my head, jazz and blues are the same. Yeah, I can't sort it out.
On every message we've had about it,
we were going to go to a jazz club and we changed it to a blues bar. Yeah. I'm like an old man set in ways. Can't change it.
Right. Thanks for listening. Give us 5 stars on iTunes.
Tell friends.
Tell your family.
Spread the Trevolution words.
Yeah. Get in touch. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook and is produced by Joel Porter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.